This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It is presented by Garrettson Building Supply. After a bit of a power outage there, State Representative Christine Goodwin, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Get real close to the mic there. Just back from legislative days with the legislature in Salem. How'd that go?
It went well. Legislative days are the formal meetings of committees in which the concept for bills are being formulated. And legislators are sharing what bills they are going to be running on the floor. Hopefully, they hope it'll come to the floor in the 22 session. So there will committees have been meeting. I've been involved with work groups for weeks now, which is very informational. But this week is when the committees very formally meet and pass forward, if you will, or at least entertain what bills will be brought into session.
How did you think the week went?
I participated in, I'm on serving on two committees, Behavioral Health and Public Safety, which is a sub of Ways and Means. So they went well. There's a lot of information in the Behavioral Health group, and I'll bring some of that out here in a minute, some of the things that I think our listeners may want to know. But overall, I think I'm just approaching this as looking at bills in terms of how do they improve lives. There are also grants that we review that will come to session as well. But, you know, I'm looking at it very practically. How will this improve people's lives? And particularly, how will it impact the lifestyle of our district?
So for the next session, what about bills you're looking at putting out there?
I am picking up two bills that really just ran out of time. One is the Veterans Mortuary Bill. So what has been happening is if there are unclaimed remains of a veteran, they are often languishing in a funeral home or in a mortuary facility entity of some sort. And so my bill would require that home contact the veteran service officer in our county to claim those and give proper burial and respect, honor that veteran.
And you have a second one too, right?
I do. The Predator Damage Control Districts, this will sunset without this bill. Basically, we have a balance of maintaining viable natural resource-based industry, of which we have a lot in our district, and a healthy wildlife population. But the predators do considerable damage to ranches, farms, forests, all kinds of orchards, wineries, infrastructure, roads, dikes, culverts. They create disease issues. And so basically the way this was handled for years is that the county had a general funding to contract with wildlife services to take care of these predators in either lethal and non-lethal. So professional government entities, trappers, would assist in this process. As that funding diminished, what our county has done is created a voluntary taxing district, so self-taxing district. So these property owners come together, form a district, have a board, they interact with the county, they offset those costs for wildlife services to handle predators. And again, keeping that balance, we're not trying to eradicate predators entirely, but they are doing considerable damage. A rancher might experience, a rancher friend of mine says he loses 20% of his calves every year.
Yeah, it can be a big issue, especially in the rural area. Do you mm-hmm. think the subject is as well understood when you're talking with lawmakers from more metro areas?
No, it's not. So I think this will be challenged. This will be a difficult bill to get through it for that very reason, Kyle. The urban folks just do not interact in the way we do with wildlife and have the natural resource in industries that we do. So it will be, it will have to get a hearing. This will be a tough one probably to get to the floor, but the Farm Bureau, I bring in experts, resources, people to help me navigate this, so I will push it forward. I think the Veterans Mortuary Bill will be, you know, very bipartisan support.
What about the rental assistance program? Where do things stand there?
Well, that... there have been two phases, people may know, of federal funding to our state, but that has been very slowly dispersed. The legislature has twice extended the eviction moratorium to make sure that there was plenty of time for those people who did apply for rental assistance would receive that assistance, pass that along to landlords. Well, we are still only halfway with that money. There's been a little acceleration of disbursement in the last month, but it has been very slow. But I do want to, I want people to know that you must apply for the rental assistance. The governor has not just given people freedom to not pay their rent. And what is happening, of course, is there's a lot of fraud. We're seeing people who actually have income. Maybe they have federal source, other sources of income. They could be paying their rent, and they're really leaving a lot of landlords high and dry. Spoke to this elderly gentleman who's been a landlord for many years. He's in his 80s, and he just got stiffed by a lot of renters. And they were actually telling him stories that the governor said they don't have to pay their rent. So I want to be really clear. You do have to pay your rent or apply for the application, and there is a deadline. So by December 1st, that application, and then evidence of that application must be given to your landlord. But there are monies out there. I think they're with the applications they have on hand, what they've already dispersed, they're thinking they are going to be running out of that federal money. So,
a lot going on. What were some of the other highlights from the past few days for you?
Well, behavioral health. So many will recall the ballot measure 110, which decriminalized drug possession. So the intent, I believe, from the voter and those proponents of 110 really wanted there to be more of a treatment orientation to drug addiction and not criminalizing. But what has happened, as typical, things don't always happen as intended. What we have are Class E violations. People are given a violation and they don't respond to their court order or any of their, they're given information about treatment opportunities and services there, and they are not even attempting to engage with those. So, an example, there would be 1,500 violations and maybe 68 of those would actually seek a treatment service. And then even less than that will follow through. So we've got a real, that's a big conversation in behavioral health. There really is, you know, it ends up being a law enforcement, again, another workforce shortage in law enforcement. They can arrest people, but there's not much that's really going to happen there. And then people in treatment have said, you know, a lot of times the very nature of drug addiction, and primarily these, the big arrests in Douglas County, we're top three county. We're number three. Josephine is one, Lane two, and Douglas three for the most violations. And they're mostly meth and heroin. So serious drug addiction, and people are just not receiving or even wanting to engage in treatment. So the people in treatment world say that oftentimes they do need to hit rock bottom. They need to almost be forced into a treatment program. But that is under, it's a great source of conversation right now.
All right. An update there from State Representative Christine Goodwin. Thanks for coming in this morning.
You're welcome.
842 at News Radio 1240 KQAN.